Simon & Schuster Audio presents Against All Enemies, Inside America's War on Terror, by Richard A. Clark. Read by the author.
From inside the White House, the State Department, and the Pentagon, for 30 years, I disdained those who departed government and quickly rushed out to write about it. It seemed somehow inappropriate to expose, as Bismarck put it, the making of sausage. Yet I became aware, after my departure from federal service, that much that I thought was well known was actually obscure to many who wanted to know. I was frequently asked, exactly how did things work on 9/11? What happened? This is the story, from my perspective, of how Al-Qaeda developed and attacked the United States on September 11th. It is a story of the CIA and FBI, who came late to realize that there was a threat to the United States, and who were unable to stop it, even after they agreed that the threat was real and significant. It is also the story of four presidents: Ronald Reagan, who did not retaliate for the murder of 278 United States Marines in Beirut, and who violated his own terrorism policy by trading arms for hostages in what came to be called the Iran-Contra scandal. George Herbert Walker Bush, who did not retaliate for the Libyan murder of 259 passengers on Pan Am 103, who did not have an official counterterrorism policy, and who left Saddam Hussein in place, requiring the United States to leave a large military presence in Saudi Arabia. Bill Clinton, who identified terrorism as a major post-Cold War threat and acted to improve our counterterrorism capabilities, who quelled anti-American terrorism by Iraq and Iran and defeated an Al-Qaeda attempt to dominate Bosnia, but who, weakened by continued political attack, could not get the CIA, the Pentagon, and the FBI to act sufficiently to deal with the threat. George W. Bush, who failed to act prior to September 11th on the threat from Al-Qaeda, despite repeated warnings, and then harvested a political windfall for taking obvious yet insufficient steps after the attacks, and who launched an unnecessary and costly war in Iraq that strengthened the fundamentalist, radical Islamic terrorist movement worldwide. I recognize there's a great risk in writing a book such as this, in that many friends and former associates who disagree with me will be offended. The Bush White House leadership in particular have a reputation for taking great offense at criticisms by former associates, considering it a violation of loyalty. They are also reportedly adept at revenge, as my friend Joe Wilson discovered, and as former Secretary of the Treasury Paul O'Neill now knows. Nonetheless, friends should be able to disagree, and for me, loyalty to the citizens of the United States must take precedence over loyalty to any political machine. In the 1700s, a small group of extraordinary Americans created the Constitution that governs this country. In it, they dictated an oath that the President of the United States should swear. 43 Americans have done so since. Scores of millions of Americans have sworn a very similar oath upon becoming citizens or joining the armed forces, becoming FBI agents, CIA officers, or federal bureaucrats. All of them have sworn to protect that very Constitution. In this era of threat and change, we must all renew our pledge to protect that Constitution against the foreign enemies that would inflict terrorism against our nation and its people. That mission should be our first calling, not unnecessary wars to test personal theories or expiate personal guilt or revenge. We must all defend the Constitution against those who would use the terrorist threat to assault the liberties the Constitution enshrines. Those liberties are under assault, and if there is another major, successful terrorist attack in this country, there will be further assaults on our rights and civil liberties. Thus, it is essential that we prevent further attacks, and that we protect the Constitution against all enemies.